22. Drum and Bass. Pamela Mainwaring, English, with blonde bangs entirely concealing her forehead, drove Hollis back to the Mondrian in one of the big silver Volkswagen sedans. She'd worked for Blue Ant previously in London, she volunteered, before leaving to do something else, but then had been invited here to help oversee the expansion of the firm's local operation.
"You hadn't met Hubertus before,"
she suggested as they headed up the 101. "Was it that obvious?"
"He told me as he was leaving to meet you. Hubertus loves the opportunity to work with new talent."
Hollis looked up at the passing shaggy heads of palms, black against a grayish-pink luminosity.
"Having met him, I'm amazed that I hadn't heard of him before."
"He doesn't want you to have heard of him. He doesn't want people to have heard of Blue Ant, either. We're often described as the first viral agency. Hubertus doesn't like the term, and for good reason. Foregrounding the agency, or its founder, is counterproductive. He says he wishes we could operate as a black hole, an absence. But there's no viable way to get from there to here."
They left the freeway.
"Do you need anything?"
"Pardon me?"
"Hubertus wants you to have anything you might need.
That's rather literally anything, by the way, since you're working on one of his special projects."
"Special?" "No explanations, no goals cited, no budgetary cap, absolute priority in whatever queue. He describes it as a species of dreaming, the company's equivalent of REM sleep. He believes it's essential."
She took a card from a pocket in the VW's sun visor and passed it to Hollis.
"Anything. Just call."
"Do you have a car?"
"No."
"Would you like this one? I can leave it for you."
"No, thanks."
"Cash?"
"I'll submit receipts."
Pamela Mainwaring shrugged. They rolled in, past the door sculptures. Hollis had her door unlatched before the car had come completely to a halt.
"Thank you for driving me, Pamela. Nice meeting you. Good night."
"Good night."
Hollis closed the door. The silver sedan swung back out onto Sunset, the lights of the Mondrian's entrance diminishing in its bodywork. A night security man opened the door for her, a sort of decorative grommet clamped through the lobe of his ear.
"Miss Henry?"
"Yes?"
"Message for you at the desk,"
he said, indicating the direction. She headed for the desk, passing a weird cruciform settee upholstered in virginal white leather.
"Here you are,"
said the shirt model at the desk when she'd identified herself. She wanted to ask him what he used for his eyebrows, but didn't. He produced a square brown carton, 20 inches on a side, and had her sign the multi-copy form attached to it.
"Thank you,"
she said, picking it up. It wasn't very heavy. She turned, heading back toward the elevators, and saw Laura Hyde, a.k.a. Heidi, once the curfew's drummer, waiting beside the cross-shaped settee. If nothing else, some quietly methodical part of her noted, this proved that that really had been who she thought she'd seen driving past Virgin Records so much earlier in the evening.
"Heidi?"
Though there could be no doubt.
"Laura,"
Hyde corrected. She wore what Hollis took to be a jabot, a sort of Blade Runner soccer mom look, probably less out of place in this lobby than many things would be. Her dark hair seemed to have been cut to suit that, though Hollis would have been at a loss to explain how.
"How are you, Laura?"
"Bagged. Inchmail got my cell number from a friend in New York. Former friend."
As if that number for Inchmail had put paid to that.
"He called to tell me you were here."
"I'm sorry."
"Oh, it isn't you, really. Lawrence is screening dailies 2 blocks from here. If I weren't here, I'd be there."
"He's producing?"
"Directing."
"Congratulations, I didn't know."
"Neither did I."
Hollis hesitated.
"Not what I signed on for."
Her wide, full-lipped mouth went perfectly straight. Never a good sign with her. "On the other hand, it may not last long." Did she mean her husband's directing or her marriage? Hollis had never been able to read the drummer very well. Neither had anyone else, according to Inchmail, who maintained that that was why the drumming was necessary, one species of primate signal that could always be seen to work.